Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Within the last several days, Purdue's lost a couple of players to injury and to the portal, continuing what's been an active offseason for the football team, but additions likely will continue as well. We'll break that all down coming up on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter is here, Tom Deanhart as well. We'll talk to Brian Newbert about some basketball recruiting here in a couple of minutes also. But Tom, it was an active week, as it has been sort of all offseason and will be for the next forever with the transfer portal, it seems. The Boilermakers losing a couple players to injury, which is unfortunate, but, you know, in a contact sport, it does happen, those being a couple of offensive linemen and Will Bramall and Kyle Jernigan. Another offensive lineman, Jimmy McKenna, has graduated, which seems crazy to me. It seems like McKenna hasn't been here very long, but he has graduated and will move on. Stephen Fauché will go into the transfer portal, a defensive tackle. Giovanni Howard, who's been on the team, then off the team, then on the team, then off the team, is back departing Purdue. The punter is gone. It's a lot of action here over the last week. The question, though, is any of it significant?
Yeah, that's the key question to pose, Kyle. You're exactly right. And the answer to that question is no, none of it is really significant. You know, Will Bramall, he did start 10 games back in 2019. Looked like he could have had a solid career. It would have been nice to have seen him develop. And, you know, Kyle Jernigan started one game last year, guard, and looked to have some promise. So those two guys, I think, would have liked to have seen them continue to develop and matriculate. But, again, neither really figured in significantly in the two deeps going into 2021. Jimmy McKenna really hadn't been a factor his entire career. And, you know, the punter, Brooks Cormier, really had, to me, kind of fallen out of favor, I think. Just really stricken with a lot of inconsistency, Kyle. And you know, Purdue, I think, spoke volumes when it went out and got the kicker who's coming in from Australia, Jack Ansell, a 23-year-old, who, Kyle, they offered a scholarship to sight unseen. They just recruited the kid off videos and whatnot. Again, I think that sort of sent a message that maybe they wanted to turn the page. And I think Brooks may have some medical issues, too. We'll see if that surfaces or not. But I don't think he's going to be the punter, long story short, in 2021. Stephen Fauché, like McKenna, never really was a factor at defensive tackle. And then Giovanni Howard, I think you chronicled it well, you know. Came in last year from a JC. What was largely inconsistent on the field this last fall. Entered the portal in the offseason, pulled out of the portal, was re-enrolled back with the team. And then, of course, this last week, news broke that he is no longer on the team and has jumped back in the portal. So, you know, while you know, people may look at the numbers and think it's a cause for alarm, again, long story short, it's not. More important, Kyle, is to keep track of the guys coming in, because Purdue's already been active bringing their own transfers in so far, 9 total. And they are not finished bringing players in either.
Yeah, I think, you know, the number of departures is always, I don't know if shocking is the right word. We should all be getting used to it here, right? I mean, it's going to be a nature of the sport going forward a little bit. I only care, like, I want to see where they end up. Because to me, it matters only if they end up at another Power 5, right? I mean, if they don't end up in another Power 5, and that's no offense to these guys who are leaving, certainly the guys who are injured, it's unfortunate that you can't continue a career. But if you're in the portal and you end up, you know, at an FCS or, you know, a mid-major FBS program, I just, you know, I wish you well. But, you know, from a Purdue perspective, clearly it wasn't a fit. It wasn't going to work. You weren't developing the way Purdue anticipated, and time for all parties to move on. That's just, you know, sort of how I feel about it. I don't get all worked up about this stuff.
You're really the only guy of that ilk who left for a similar program is Malik Carr, who went to go to Michigan State. But otherwise, the players who have left, the Jared Sparks of the world, you know, Ahmad Anderson, players like that, really haven't landed at any, at we would consider any upgraded institutions from a football standpoint.
Yeah.
Louisiana Monroe, Temple, places like that. We've seen other guys in the past, like Giovanni Rivani. Going to like Tennessee Martin, Tennessee Chattanooga. So it really hasn't been a case where they've lost a lot of top talent that's gone on to other Power 5 programs. So, you know, that's a good point to make. And I know Purdue's continuing to look for talent at the offensive line, the defensive line. I know they're still looking for help in the secondary as well, and at running back, too. I know they're still holding out hope to get this running back from Clemson, Shea Muselli, who reportedly is leaning toward Wisconsin. But Purdue is still involved, and they got their fingers crossed maybe they can land him. So there's still many positions that Purdue's still looking to upgrade at.
This is always a difficult question to answer in a pre-one-time transfer era. It's even more so now. Any idea how many scholarships Purdue has open right now?
No idea, and I have checked into it. It's a moving target, and everything I'm led to believe, long story short, is there's room to add guys, Kyle. I think that's what's important.
Yeah.
And also, it's important to know this. Look for a handful of more players to jump in the portal here the next month or so. 2 to 4 is a number I hear. So don't be shocked if you see some other guys jump in. And, Kyle, they're likely going to be of the ilk of the guys that have already jumped in the portal. Players who, to this point in their Purdue careers, have largely not made an impact. So nobody of real note who's expected to contribute this fall is expected to leave. But, again, there could be some more guys jumping the portal. Again, guys who have yet to really make an impact and may want to see if they can try their luck at another school.
Yeah. It seems unlikely that a program will ever go into its first game of the season ever again with a max number of scholarship players. It just seems like that could never happen. Because with the number of departures and then trying to balance that, you know, it's a lot easier for a player to leave than it is to replace that player.
Yeah, it is. I think you're always going to have maybe a little bit of a deficit in that 85 scholarships you're allowed to have.
Yeah.
Probably always going to have some flexibility too, but you would like to be at your cap, you would think, when the season starts. But that may be hard to do, like you noted. So just a whole new world order here. And camps are going to start up soon for the high school kids in June. Purdue's publicized the camps they're going to have. And it's going to be interesting to see how the portal impacts high school recruiting moving forward too. You know, you got to think Purdue's only going to sign maybe, what, 15 to 20 high school kids every year in December. They want to keep, maybe 5 to 7 scholarships open, you know, each year, just to have that flexibility to be able to add people via the portal.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. And this year, right, the deadline July 1st extended because of the last year that we've been through. So there'll be some opportunities for some guys to come in here over the next month. And, you know, it'll be an active, to say the least, June.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. June, like you said, the rest of this month, what's left of May as well. So, yeah, we could see some more news popping as far as guys joining the Boilermakers as transfers. And it's kind of a fun, new, exciting era, I should say, kind of almost college football free agency, if you will. And roster management has become more and more important than ever before here from year to year, balancing your needs. And being able to go out, Kyle, and actually patch holes that you have on your roster with veteran help, I mean, it's got to be considered a boon to a lot of these programs, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can go out and fill holes that you have if you're in a position to do that. In future years, though, this will be moved up, and we won't be doing this at this time of year?
Yeah, May 1st is supposed to be the deadline for fall-winter sport athletes to make their portal decisions. But since the rule was enacted late this year, it was moved to July 1st. So that's why we've had this rock kicked down the road, so to speak, into the summer months. So, yeah, but again, moving forward here, 2022, it'll be May 1st for football players.
All right. All right, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring Brian in. We'll talk some basketball recruiting. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Hey, Kyle here with Brian. We'll talk a little bit of basketball recruiting. Brian, how many times in your life have you driven to Fort Wayne to watch AAU basketball? 100? What are we talking? You know that road well. You've made that trip once or twice.
Yeah, well, it's a lot better than it used to be because of some of the advancements in the roads between here and Fort Wayne over the years. But, yeah, it's probably it's probably a triple digit.
Yeah, probably so. And a little bit easier. You zoom by my house on your way out there to Fort Wayne, too, which I'm sure is the most exciting part of the trip. Let's talk a little bit of recruiting and boiling
that
over.
That doesn't say
last
a whole lot.
No doubt. And boiling over, last week you outlined sort of anticipated official visits in June. We don't need to go through those. Subscribers can check that out. However, it will be a busy month, to say the least, and it will be nice to have official visitors again after however long it's been since they were allowed to be on campus in that fashion. So for this class, Brian, Purdue has a couple of players committed, obviously. Do you have a sense for what size this class will be? Because, it is possible. I know those seniors have said that they're not going to return for a super senior season, so I suppose we can sort of count that that will not happen. But what's sort of the outlook for this class in general in terms of how many players Purdue wants to be able to sign?
Yeah, well, A, those guys still could theoretically change their minds. I mean,
yeah.
I think them saying up front that they don't intend to come back, I think that's a pretty strong indicator, but you know, there's nothing binding about that. But I think on paper, you know, what Purdue has four scholarships, but I think, we're very much now in the era where, you know, coaches used to oversign as a risk. And now I think coaches are going to be much more inclined to oversign as, the conditions on the ground, because I think you can reasonably assume you're going to regularly lose transfers. And I think that, you know, Purdue may have four scholarships right now, but that doesn't mean they're not going to try to sign five guys. Now, typically, mm-hmm. we sit here and we look at the board this time of year and we say, okay, if they get these five guys, for sure you're over-signing for that. But I'm not sure necessarily it's even just you do it for the best-case scenario anymore. I think you just do it out of habit. Now, that being said, you know, the requisite qualifier here is that, you know, Purdue's not going to just sign five guys, even if they make really good hamburgers. But they are going to obviously want to get the right five guys. Obviously, they're not just going to try to fill uniforms here, but I do think they will be inclined to push this class to five. That would be my general expectation. But nowadays, I think everything's on the table. You know, the other possibility, and I think this applies less to Purdue than it does to anyone else, because I don't think Purdue is in any hurry to gorge themselves on transfers like everybody else is going to, is that you hold back, you know, scholarships you would typically dedicate to mm-hmm. high school players in order to have some flexibility when, you know, in December or even this summer, you know, somebody pops up in the portal. I don't think Purdue yeah. is going to plan, you know, to recruit transfers necessarily. I think if they organically have space, you know, sometimes they might dabble. But we all know how much of an advocate for team chemistry and all that stuff Matt Painter is. I think that, you know, he's also kind of a less is more sort of coach in terms of he doesn't want guys who aren't playing being malcontents at the end of his bench. So I think he'd rather have, you know, 11 functional guys over 13 guys with two guys mm-hmm. at the end of the bench griping about the fact that they're not playing. I think that kind of takes care of itself because he tends to recruit guys who don't gripe, but
right.
there's a lot of dynamics here in play that will guide how Purdue, you know, crafts its numbers from here on out. It's just a fascinating time for roster management in college basketball right now.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting the difference between football and basketball too, right? I mean, obviously there's a lot of differences. One of them, the biggest one, being the sheer number of scholarships. I mean, seven times as many. But as I just talked about Tom, I mean, there will never, in my opinion, be an instance where a team goes into the fall with the full 85. I mean, it almost should always hold a couple of spots back for transfer type of issues, just because it seems like those would come up just on a numbers basis more in football. It's sort of the opposite with basketball, though, right? Because, right. as you said, why would you not just oversign? And then I don't think you should ever be shocked if you're a basketball program and sort of anticipate losing a guy a year. I mean, I don't care who you are. It just seems like that is a pretty good possibility. And not that we could sit here and even name who that would be at Purdue on a yearly basis, but it just seems like on average that would probably be the case in basketball.
Basketball is that, you know, before if you oversigned and you got stuck, you were in a tight spot because then you had to go to somebody and say, hey, I know we told you that you were going to be coming to Purdue this fall, but instead, you're going to be going to a prep school in Kansas. How does that sound? You know, that's a really tough spot to be in, not only because you're doing that to that kid and his family, and you're completely breaking down that wall of trust you've spent time to try to build up, but because now once that kid gets to Purdue, you've started that relationship on an awful foot. And that was just always a really tough spot to be in. Now in football, you know, the obvious difference between football and basketball is that one of 13 matters a hell of a lot more than one of 85 does. The thing about football that's so crazy is, like, when a kid commits, we sit here and we write, like, two stories on the kid. It's a big deal, and people have invested a good deal of their attention in, hey, who's going to be the next to commit? And it's a big deal when the kid commits, and then when the kid transfers, it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle because the numbers are so overwhelming. That you don't want to sound callous, but it almost doesn't matter. Whereas in basketball, you know, it is a much bigger deal because that's
a chunk of your roster leaving, as opposed to, you know, a salt shaker in the Atlantic Ocean and the sodium contact. You know, it's just, it's not that big a deal. That was a really weird analogy, wasn't it?
the first half of it was good. Then you went sodium, and I was like, you lost me there.
Yeah.
So it's just a much different deal in basketball.
You can oversign in football, I think, a little bit easier than you can in basketball, too, because the numbers are just – you're going to lose guys every year. Whereas in basketball, I think it's a reasonable expectation. But in football, it's a lead pipe lock kind of thing, because it's just there's so many more of them. You know, football is going to be this way every year. It's going to be much more about year-to-year NFL-style roster management than it is about, you know, going out and getting 25 high school kids and building them up over the course of 3 or 4 years and hoping that 13 out of the 25 turn into players for you. That's just the reality of it. That's especially the reality of it at Purdue, where it's you might have two David Bells and George Karloftises and a couple Milton Wrights and whatnot on your roster at all times, but it's really hard to have 50 of them. You know, there's always going to be gaps there. Whereas in basketball, you can recruit at a level where you can have 8, 9, 10 good players all at once, like Purdue will have this year, if not 12. So football is going to be a much different deal than basketball moving forward, not just at Purdue, but for everybody, I think.
Right. So Purdue has a couple of commitments in 2022. These guys will be able to start, and those being Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, they'll be able to start taking their official visits, and others, of course, who are uncommitted here in June. They'll be able to take official visits right again in the fall. Do you anticipate that from what you see with these guys who Purdue is recruiting, that Purdue will sign, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 players in the fall, or could it go longer than that just because the calendar is sort of shifted here over the last year and a half?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this class nationally kind of approaches recruiting. I know I'm sure they're all very, very eager to get on these campuses. Now, whether that translates to them being very, very eager to make their college decisions, to commit right away, to commit after June, whatever it might be, I don't know. But I think it's very, very very, very unlikely you're going to see a lot of kids take 10 official visits in the span of, you know, 6 months. That's insane. It also seems a little bit – it would seem a little bit atypical, obviously, to see a player who's very highly recruited visit somebody in June and then come back in September and October. That would seem that's certainly on the table, and I think that would help a school like Purdue with a Jalen Washington, where you can host him for a visit in June, knowing that if you have to get him back on your campus at some point, you still have that token in your back pocket. But it is going to be really interesting to see if these kids who haven't been able to take visits, anything like that, in a year and a half or so, come into June thinking, okay, I'm going to take my visits now, and I'm going to decide, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth because I didn't get the chance to do this before. So I'm going to take my visits in June, and then I'm going to take more visits in the fall. The other thing that's hanging over all these guys' heads too is what we just got done talking about, is that a school might have 4 scholarships right now, but it's also going to be hosting every kid it's recruiting in June, and it's also going to have the option this winter, you know, to go chase more transfers, because there's always going to be that mid-year transfer wire too that is going to be less prevalent than the off-season wire, but there nonetheless. So, you know, scholarships can fill at any time more than that possibility has existed ever before.
Right.
So I think when you saw early on at Purdue when Jameel Brown committed so many months ago, I think the transfer climate, you know, probably factored into that, because kids then didn't know if they were ever going to be able to take visits. Kids didn't know how long scholarships are going to remain open because of the transfer possibilities. So it's going to be really interesting to see just how this class approaches this. Every case is obviously going to be different, but I think you'll probably see enough activity to be able to discern some some broad trends in how kids are sort of approaching
this. Yeah. Very complex changes. I'm glad you're here to help us through showing the big picture, at least the best you can. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that after this. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217. Or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
That'll do it for the pod for this week. Of course, this one drops every Monday morning. You can look for other versions, Golden Black Radio Express, as news happens during the week. You can subscribe however it is that you listen to your podcast or listen online. All right, that'll do it for our program for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.